We're going to come to the end.
We have 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Let me ask you two sort of wrap-up questions. As you think about baseball and what you've achieved, can you give us a sense of how you would like to be remembered by the people 50 years from now? After all, these are the people who are interested enough to push the button under Marvin Miller. You know, what do you think your legacy is, and how would you like people to think about you?
I think I would like them to think about me as a trade union leader, whether it was baseball or something else. And I really believe that, you know, when you sift through the small print, whether you're talking about salary arbitration or impartial arbitration of grievances or free agency or what have you, or of changing a salary level from an average of 19,000 to 2.5 million a year.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I still would like to be remembered as somebody, and I'm hopeful that this will be so, as somebody who built a very solid union from the beginning, working with some bright people, but ones without labor experience, without union experience, who became a really solid, united force, and to the point where, as we're talking here, it's still considered one of the strongest and most democratic unions in the country. How it will be 50 years from now, I hope the same.
I'm going to ask you a speculation question, the only one I will have asked. What if I said to you that the union period is over? The union has achieved its objective. It now really is in control of baseball. And the issue is, how can the union, which is really no longer a union, but the controlling element in baseball economically, how do you see, if you can speculate, that change taking place over the next period of time? How do you see baseball functioning with a union which basically has the economic power in baseball?
Well, I don't quite buy the premise.
I wondered whether you would.
Right. I think that at least in terms of the way we know what a strong union is, it is not in control of the industry. The steelworkers were represented strength and the union, and we see what happens to an industry because of other circumstances. Almost anything can happen. But I don't start from the premise that the union is the controlling influence. I think as long as we have a society organized along the lines that we have, I think if a union achieves equality and having its members treated as equals, not as underlings, not as property, not as, going further back, not as slaves.
You would accept partners.
As a trade unionist, probably not. Probably not. I don't think that the employer-employee relationship can ever really be a partnership. Not in our society. I could visualize a different kind of society, but I cannot really visualize a partnership here. I think those that have tried it, and people have come close to these plans where employees and the union purchase stock in the company and then get to put some members on the of the union on the board of directors and so on, is an experiment that is largely a failure. I think that it probably works best in a relationship of adversaries, not enemies, not in constant conflict, but in an adversarial position, much as you might consider as a lawyer that you try to get truth in a courtroom from having two adversaries present positions to a neutral.
Well, this is not the place to debate that, though maybe at some point we should.
Okay.
We're at the end. I guess the question is, do you have?
No, I just, you know, I wanted to ask him about his legacy and you belong in the Hall of Fame. If there's a Hall of Fame that is for people that have changed the game and have put an indelible mark on the game, I don't know of anybody more worthy than you. And I've told you this many, many times, well, on the air and off.
It will happen. I'm sure it will happen.
Well, I thank you, but I don't want to get into that. That's fair enough. It's a difficult subject.
Well, let me just ask you this then. Have you ever gotten any? Have you ever gotten any thank you notes? Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
I will say this: I don't view it the way most other people do when they talk to me about it. I've always been pretty good at counting votes in advance, and I have never believed that I was going to be voted into the Hall of Fame. There are people who said, "Oh, when you make this change and you make that change, et cetera, it'll happen." And I, you know, I think that the votes were never there. They are not likely to be there. Nor do I think that's any great tragedy. I don't lust after it. If someone were to give me my druthers, say, you know, what honor, and I've received more than I deserve already, what honor would you like that you don't have? I would opt for the Labor Hall of Fame in the United States Department of Labor. The problem is that the eligibility requirement is that you be dead for 5 years.
You don't want to accept that.
And so nobody campaigns for it.
Well, why don't we end? I think I will predict that you will eventually, I don't know what eventually means, I think you will find yourself at Cooperstown. You belong there, and we appreciate your time. It's been very helpful. I wish we had another 2 hours. We could talk a lot about this.
Well,
it was very nice to do it.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I've enjoyed it. If at some point in time you want to supplement it, call me.
All right, very good. Thank you very much.
Great.
Okay.
Terrific, Marvin. Thank you.
Not at all.
I'm afraid we wore you out.
That's it.
Bravo.
Yeah. Don't get up.
We've got to get the mic off. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah.